Day on the Gold Coast. Michael Carl is joining us. Morning to you, Mike.
Morning, Andrew.
Must be looking forward to tomorrow, this chance of winning a Group 1 with Real Surreal.
Yeah, I sure am.
Super run last week. It was actually a very emotional Kelso Wood after the race. How was he when you got to him?
Oh, he was pretty pleased, Andrew. Yeah, I think he quoted, he said that to me too. It was one of the biggest achievements in his training career. So I imagine it was very satisfying for him to get it back and get it back to a top.
Yeah, for sure. From a wide draw last week, you went back, but gee, she's got a good sprint on her, hasn't she, now that she seems to be back in really good racing form?
Yeah, she has. You know, she's a powerful finisher. She showed that as a two-year-old when she won the Magic Millions, and even the runs leading up to it, she made it home from back in the field. Just couldn't go with them last week. I wanted to be a bit boat handier, but you've just got to ride them as the race unfolds, and she couldn't go early, and from about the half mile onwards, she started to travel. I knew she was going to be in the finish, although she got brushed coming to the turn, took her up momentum away. So it was a great run, great win.
Stronger race, obviously, tomorrow for so many in this race going to Group 1, but she's doing the 7-day backup. Remarkably for mine, she's only had the one run there, and we know what race that was, the Magic Millions.
Yeah, exactly, Andrew, and that was off a backup as well. She had quite a hard run last week. Hopefully she hasn't taken any effects from it, but she's in very good hands and the stable will turn her out near a top again, I'd say. She's got a wide draw. It does appear a very open race, as you say, and luck in running will play a big part.
Mike, Steve Andrews just made comment about the rail positions the last two or three meetings there. There just seems to be, I don't know, you guys are out there riding it, but there seems to be a disliking for the inside there at the moment at the coast.
There has been in recent times, Andrew, you're right.
Is there any reason you feel for that or not?
Oh, well, look, some people think it may be because the inside rail is protected leading up to it.
Yeah.
But I can't say for sure, Andrew, no. You know, Steve Andrews and his team, they do a very good job. It's one of the most raced on courses in Australia. But I think the fact that it's had a couple of weeks' rest could play a big part tomorrow. But we won't really know until they get racing. But I imagine most jockeys there with the mindset that the inside may not be the place to be, but that was the case last week at Ipswich also, and it proved the track race very fair. The rail was there last week at Ipswich.
Yeah, so for sure.
Just got to go with an open mind.
Backman, you would have loved the way it charged to the line there the other day in the Queensland Guineas. Gerald's got it going to 1800 tomorrow.
Yeah, it was a great run last start, Andrew. He can run a bit free, this horse, but if you get some cover and switches off, he should play a part in the finish again.
Yeah, gee, he can come quick, can't he?
Oh, yes, he's a decent horse. I think he might have won the Guineas had I been able to get him to the outside. But he charged home late between runners, and it was certainly an eye-catching run.
I think Rob Heathcote might be away on... Is he still away on holidays?
As far as I know, Andrew, he is, yes.
You got one of his old favourites there in the last tomorrow, probably one of yours as well, Excellentes.
Yeah, he's been a great old horse, Andrew. I've won a couple of listed races on him in recent months, and he's drawn a bit awkwardly here tomorrow. He seems to run his best races from good at draws, but depends on how the track's playing. He always gives a sight. He's a decent horse.
You've got Banker Mo. You've got Nilette in the first race. Your book's not too bad tomorrow. Hopefully on paper it ends up that way.
Hopefully, Andrew. It's all right. As you say, Banker Mo backing up from a good Ipswich Cup run. Needs some cut in the ground, which he should get. And another New Zealander, Addictive Habit. He'll appreciate giving the ground too.
That's in race five, number four. Hey, before you get there tomorrow, you're off to Ipswich. I think you've got three there. Have you got one in your memory bank as the best of those?
Oh, Andrew, I'm going there hopeful rather than confident. I'm on a first starter that I don't know anything about. It hasn't tried with Foster's and two other runners that have sort of been racing moderately. Maybe my best one came out in the last, but I'll go there full of hope.
Full of hope. We wish you the best today, but, mate, more tomorrow with Real Surreal, particularly in the Group 1 and the other rides. I hope it's a good day for you, Mike.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks
very much, mate. Michael Carl joining us there with the latest on his key chances for tomorrow at the Gold Coast. Very shortly, we'll catch up with John Thompson to talk about his runners. But first of all, we're going to concentrate on Royal Ascot. And just before we go to Craig Williams, the news has come through from Donna and Rob Love from Love Racing, the owners of Charmel Wind. They text me about 2 hours ago out of the UK that Charmel Wind won't race again. She's been retired. She'll be going to the UK sire See the Stars and returning to Australia in fall. So Charmel Wind has been officially retired.
This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
Well, let's go to England now. The build-up to the Diamond Jubilee, the last night, early hours of Sunday morning. What a race it's going to be. And Craig Williams is going to play a key role on Brazen Bow. Hello to you, Craig.
Hi, Andrew.
Craig, I know you've been to Ascot for the race meeting day three. You took part in a race. You walked the track. How's the build-up to Saturday for you?
Yes, Royal Ascot doesn't disappoint any year. The turnout's been excellent. The weather's been fantastic. The competition has, you've seen the world-class horses competing, and who's who of racing seems to be there, and even there's a lot of Hollywood stars, so it's the European version of what we get through our spring carnival, so it's great to be part of it over here.
Craig, in regard to the race on Saturday night, our time with Brazen Bow, the field's out, it's a field of 15, and you've drawn that number 15, which is on the grandstand side. What sort of feeling are you getting with that draw and everything else to go with this race, the Diamond Jubilee?
Well, so far, the way the track's played, just the straight racing, it's been a disadvantage to be drawn a high draw. So, but they've had 3 days of racing now. They watered the track tonight after the races, and I believe the preparation is they won't water it again. So from me drawing where I am, I'm hoping that the inside starts to get have some effect and gets worn, and hopefully I've drawn the right spot. But I know I've got the right horse, and I'd be surprised if the barrier draw would let the horse down in regards to winning the race. So let's hope that I'm right, and I've been really happy with his preparation leading into it.
I know you rode it back in the trial in Melbourne before Brazen Bow left in that jump out, but I think Chris told us a couple of days ago you went to Newmarket and just gave the horse its final gallop.
That's right, Andrew. I worked Brazen Bow on Tuesday morning at Godolphin's private gallops, and I couldn't have been happier with the way that he galloped. Most importantly, his attitude and the way he's taken it all in. But it's not just about how he is when he's here. There's been a lot of time and management that's gone into Brazen Bow tackling the Diamond Jubilee Stakes in the Group 1 on Saturday in regards to when we saw him finish in the autumn. This was always the plan, and even the preparation, and like I said before, you can see that that's really coming to fruition in regards to the way he's handling himself on the uphill gallops on his own.
Well, that's the main thing. I guess, look, I've said this a couple of times this week, Craig, in regard to our Australian horses. We haven't been able to get into the placings criteria, and I thought was very brave over the concluding stages of its race. But I guess we really don't know until the race is underway just how the horse is.
I guess that Shamar Wind, she slipped on jumping, so she never seemed to get comfortable after that. And they really don't really let you get on the bridle in that 5 furlong race. They basically leave the gates and go pretty flat out. I think that's the reason why Chris actually chose the Diamond Jubilee for Brazen Bow. And in criterion, I thought was excellent. You know, under the conditions of the race, I thought he's very gallant against. We usually send sprinters over, not staying horses, but there's no doubt that the way that Brazen Bow's going, he won't be disappointing Australian followers. And even Wangina, the way that Ascot is placed, even though he's, probably look at him and say he's a 6 furlong horse or a 7 to a mile, and but looking at Ascot, that the tough inclines there would actually come into a horse like Wangina. So if he's travelled over really well, like Brazen Bow, both those horses are going to be ultra-competitive come Saturday.
Wodgen has drawn barrier 10 in the Diamond Jubilee. You were there, you took part in the race today. You would have seen the Ascot Gold Cup winner trip to Paris. Ed Dunlop on the record already saying that this could be coming to Australia to run in the Melbourne Cup later this year.
Yeah, he's had such really good success without winning with Red Cadeau for the last like, 4 years. So he's going to have to find one. But I think it's fantastic for Australian racing that as soon as horses are winning big staying races, isn't it great that they talk about targeting our carnival? And I think that's fantastic for Australian racing. It was a great race. The track was really firm. And the favourite, obviously, the stable felt that the horse was a bit too keen on the ground. But I would have thought if they bring the favourite out and he gets his conditions, from the horse that finished third, he would be very hard to beat in the Melbourne Cup as well. He had a lot of speed and travelled quite keenly throughout. So I believe there was even an offer by an Australian owner to buy the Derby winner. So quite exciting for Australian racing.
Yeah, it is for sure. All right, mate, we better let you tuck away, have a few hours, Kip. You've got another day to go, day four, before you get to the big one for you with Brazen Bow. Good luck from everyone back here in Australia.
Thank you very much for your support, Andrew.
Good on you, Craig. Craig Williams joining us there. And that full field is out for the Diamond Jubilee. 15 runners. Brazen Bow's drawn 15 to the grandstand side. And the other Australian runner, Wodgina, has drawn barrier 10 for Gabe Waterhouse and Damien Oliver, who's going to ride, I think he's got a couple of rides at Ascot tonight on day four. John O'Shea's joining us now from Godolphin. Morning to you, John.
Morning, Andrew.
James McDonald, have you spoken with him during the week?
Yeah, no, I've been in contact with him, and he's having a nice, relatively easy week, just having a ride or two each day. Hasn't got on any chances yet, but, yeah, I think it's just a good experience for him, isn't it? And I think if they're going to go back there regularly, well, obviously the quality of their rides might improve, but it's hard this year, particularly with the dominance of Cornwall. But, no, I think he's very happy with the way it's going.
John, you've scratched your runners from the Gold Coast. It's now a soft 7. Randwick, it's heavy 10, and it's the wettest that Nevesh has ever seen there, given that it's been 65 in the last 24 hours. I guess we sit down, wait and see what happens with the weather, and sit down what happens with tomorrow.
Geez, yeah, you'd be surprised if they ran, to be fair,
yeah,
to Nevesh and his team. If... Well, at this stage, Andrew, I'd probably be inclined to leave all out at home anyway, you know. The quality of the track's not going to be, advantageous for anyone. So, as much as I'm desperate to run some of them, I don't think it would be in their best interest. And if they did run, it would probably be their last run as preparation. So we've got some lovely chances with some really nice horses in tomorrow. But, 80 mils of rain... And, a really good prospect going for the next 24 hours. I'd say we'll be inclined to stay at home.
That'll be disappointing. Look, I guess we just got to wait and see what is decided. Canterbury, is Canterbury an option? Is it a better wet track? How much rain have Canterbury got? It's been sort of fairly all around Sydney, this barrage of rain.
Yeah, they might be better off doing what they did over the championships too, Andrew, and put them on Sunday or Monday or something, I'm sure they'll work something out.
So, if we stayed, I don't want to put words in your mouth here. So, Magic Hurricane, are you keen to run Magic Hurricane just to get that next run that you've spoken about?
Yeah, I'm keen to run him. I was keen to run him on sort of heavy 80, he'll handle wet ground, but. Yeah. What will be there on Saturday if they were to race, and again, it's not a reflection on state of the track or special, it's just, 80 mils of rain. There's a lot of rain considering it was probably wet before they started getting the rain. So, it's just, I don't think it'll do anyone any good. Couldn't do the horses any good anyway.
Yeah, I understand. And did the ones that you scratched from the Gold Coast, obviously a couple of those were in at Randwick. Did you scratch from the coast because of the weather too?
Yes, mate. Yeah. We've just been trying to get a dry track for some of them, mate. It just hasn't happened this week, and just keep them ticking over until such time as the ground improves a little bit, so we can get a run into them.
You got a couple in at Melbourne tomorrow. Demonstrators had 3 starts, second up tomorrow. 1200. What's the expectation there?
Well, Andrew, anyone that saw his tape, his first up run, he was desperately unlucky. He's a really talented little horse. Got an awkward draw tomorrow with the rail out 5 at Moonee Valley. It has been a little bit fenced off there at the Valley, so hopefully that's still the case tomorrow. But, you know, it's just going to be awkward for him. But he's in one of those scenarios where he has to run because there's no suitable race for him if I wanted to scratch him. He's going very, very well. I was happy with him yesterday. And whether he gets, you know, Patrick's going to have to really ride him well for him to win.
And the other one that you've got there tomorrow is Transcript in a staying race.
Well, he's here at Newcastle.
Right.
Yeah, and I just spoke to the...
Sorry, he is too, yeah.
One of the committee, and they only had the 1 mil last night. You know, he is on the committee, so they can be a little bit prone and under-exaggerating the amount of rain. But hopefully, if that's the case, it's a very good buying service in Newcastle, and he'd be inclined to run. He's quite a talented.
All right, we'll wait and see what unfolds there. It's a heavy 8. They're getting some rain right now, Peter Birch was telling us. So, again, we'll just have to monitor the situation, as we will with Randwick. Thanks for your thoughts, John.
Cheers, boy. Thank
Good
you.
On you. John O'Shea there. Going to another John. John Thompson now from Randwick. Morning to you, John. How are things?
Morning, Andrew. Quite wet.
Yes, it is. You're based there. 65 mil in the last 24 hours, and Nevesh basically said 15 minutes ago this is the wettest that he's ever seen Randwick.
I think if this keeps up, we'd be in serious doubt on running, but it is supposed to ease this afternoon, so there is a glimmer of hope.
There is a slight glimmer. John O'Shea said maybe, you know, do we put it off to Sunday, try and give the track an extra 24 hours? We've just lost so many meetings around the state that people are screaming out for a meeting.
Yes, put it off to Sunday or Monday. It can't hurt anybody.
Yeah, we'll wait and see what the officials decide. I think the first thing is we've got to wait and see whether this weather is going to clear over the next couple of hours. I just thought we'd get an update on Whittington. It's in tomorrow. You're running at the Gold Coast. That track's improved to a soft 7, John?
Yes, I think it should continue to. The weather's good up there, so it looks like he will go around. And I think the horse is going very well on his run the other day. He seems back to his best, and he's come through that run with flying colours, and he's in good shape.
He was given a 10 out of 10 ride the other day by Rick McMahon, wasn't he?
He was. I think the horse goes best that way, just kept fresh and ridden quiet. And that'll help him get running out the 1,200 metres tomorrow. He ran a track record the other day, so he probably didn't beat much, but he's still done it in very good style. He had him covered quite easily. So, if he takes that form into Saturday's race, he'll run, quite well.
Well, he's been there and won at this track in the past. That's the good sign. Are the owners keen to race him on, John? He's a 4-year-old stallion.
No, this is his last run. He goes to stud after this, and he'll stand this year in Queensland at Grandview Stud. And the interesting stat, they told me through the week that he's only the third horse in the world to go to stud with two track records to his name, with Frankel and Northern Meteor.
Geez, that's a fascinating. Where are the two records?
He holds the 1,000-metre record at the Gold Coast and same at Doomben.
At Doomben, okay. He loves Queensland, so no surprise he's standing there.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's hope that Rick can give him a good ride tomorrow. What about those other two? A real heartbreaker? Coming out of the Sunshine Coast, are you a positive tomorrow?
Look, she's a filly that'll get better over more ground. She's got a bad trait as missing the start. So I think if we can curve those ways, it'll change the result into a few wins. But until she does that, she's finding it difficult. But she's a nice filly with a bit of promise. She just needs to learn how to race properly.
Okay. And the other one earlier, Jesse Canyon, you've sent up there.
Yes, he won well the other day. It's a step up in grade, but the owner wanted to give him his chance in a nice race. So, he's in with an each-way chance.
All right, they're the ones for you. We'll wait and see what happens with Randwick tomorrow. I know that, you know, through the last few months you've undergone changes with your stables, with clients and things, and I know you've got a big open day. When is it? Next weekend?
Yes, Sunday week. We've got an open day here, and we're parading a few of proven thoroughbreds yearlings.
Yep.
And there's a few shares left in them. We've got a couple by So You Think, a filly and a colt, a nice Savabille colt, and a few others as well that you know, that people might be interested in.
All right, so you can go probably the Proven Thoroughbreds webpage and get more details, but it's on at your stables at Randwick on Sunday week.
Sunday week, 9 o'clock, yes.
9 o'clock, all right. Thanks a lot, John. Good luck with Whittington. I hope it's a fairy tale finish tomorrow for him before he goes to stand at stud.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, John. John Thompson there joining us. So that's some of the key players. A lot of interest, obviously, in the weather. Stay tuned to Sky Sports Radio, and we'll keep you right up to date.